The first call came in quiet. No shouting in the background, no report of a weapon, just a welfare check request on a college-aged woman who had stopped answering her phone. When officers arrived, the apartment door was closed. The lights were off. Nothing suggested urgency from the outside. Inside, Jifan Dong was dead. Within hours, investigators would learn this was not an isolated act. There had been reports before, arguments, fear shared with friends, complaints routed through systems designed to help but structured to move slowly. Each warning landed somewhere different. Campus resources, local police, informal conversations that never became formal protection. None of those warnings stopped what happened next. By the end of the day, the boyfriend was gone. By the end of the week, the case file was thick with records that predated the killing. Names, dates, notes, missed chances. This was not a mystery about who did it. It was a record of how much was known before it happened and how little changed because of it. Chapter 1. The first call that went nowhere. The call reached dispatch in the early hours of the morning. The reporting party asked police to check on a young woman in a Utah apartment. She had not been heard from. Her phone was off. This was not like her. Officers arrived to a quiet scene. No signs of forced entry. No noise inside. They knocked. When there was no answer, they entered. Jifan Dong was found inside the residence. She was pronounced dead at the scene. The initial assessment pointed to homicide. There were no signs of a break-in. Nothing suggested a random intruder. Attention shifted immediately to the person closest to her. Her boyfriend was not there. Investigators began the standard first response protocol. The apartment was secured. Photographs were taken. Evidence was logged. Neighbors were canvassed. No one reported hearing anything unusual during the night. The scene was calm in a way that felt wrong. As officers worked, background checks began. Names were run. Phone records were flagged for later review. Within hours, the relationship between Jifan Dong and her boyfriend became central to the case. He was identified as a person of interest early. This was based on proximity, access, and the absence of other suspects. That alone was not unusual. What followed was, as detectives dug deeper, they uncovered prior records tied to the couple. Not one incident, multiple. There had been reports of domestic disturbances. At least one call had reached law enforcement before the killing. Friends had raised concerns. Jifan had expressed fear. None of this had resulted in an arrest or sustained intervention. Each report existed in isolation. Some had been handled by campus-related systems, others by local police. Some never advanced beyond initial intake. In at least one instance, the complaint was logged, reviewed, and closed without follow-up. At the time, none of these reports were connected to an active criminal investigation. They were treated as low-level incidents, arguments, disputes, situations to monitor. No single agency viewed the boyfriend as an escalating threat. On the morning of the killing, that distinction no longer mattered. Detectives reconstructed the final hours as best they could. Phone data showed contact between Jifan Dong and her boyfriend shortly before her death. There was no indication of a third party entering the apartment. The evidence pointed inward, not outward. While the crime scene team worked, another group of investigators focused on the paper trail. They pulled reports, dispatch logs, notes taken during previous calls. What emerged was not a clear warning siren, but a pattern. Arguments that grew more frequent. Behavior described as controlling. Fear that was shared quietly rather than loudly. Requests for help that were answered procedurally, not urgently. No restraining order had been issued. No arrest had been made before the killing. The boyfriend remained free until after Jifan Dong was found dead. That gap became the central tension of the case. Detectives interviewed friends and acquaintances that same day. Several described concern about the relationship. Some said Jifan had talked about wanting to leave. Others said she feared how her boyfriend would react if she did. These statements were treated as context, not proof. Investigators understood the difference. Allegations alone do not establish guilt, but they do establish awareness. By the end of the first day, law enforcement knew two things clearly. The boyfriend was the primary suspect, and the risk did not come without warning. The challenge was not identifying the suspect. It was understanding how the warning signs had failed to produce protection. As the investigation moved forward, that question followed every step. not as an accusation, but as an unresolved pressure point. The scene was processed, the case was classified as a homicide, the boyfriend was actively sought, and in the background, a second investigation began to form. One not about how Zhifandong died, but about what had been seen, said, and recorded before she ever did. The systems had responded before. They just had not stopped anything. Chapter 2, The Pattern Everyone Saw. Zhifandong was a college student with plans that extended past the semester she was in. Friends described her as focused, private, and careful about who she trusted. She kept her circle small. When she spoke about problems, she did it selectively. That made the reports that did exist stand out. Investigators built a timeline from messages, interviews, and prior records. It showed a relationship that had shifted over time. Early accounts described arguments, later ones described fear, control, behavior that made people around her uneasy. Friends recalled moments when Zhifan seemed distracted or anxious. She checked her phone often. She explained absences without being asked. When questioned directly, she minimized, said things were fine, said it was just stress. That pattern is common in domestic abuse cases. Investigators noted it without drawing conclusions. What mattered was what had been reported. At least one domestic disturbance had been brought to the attention of authorities before the killing. That report was logged. Officers responded. No arrest was made. The incident did not escalate within the system. According to records reviewed during the investigation, there was no visible injury at the time of that response. The accounts conflicted. Without probable cause, the matter ended there. Other warnings came through different channels. Friends encouraged Zhifan to seek help. She spoke to people connected to campus life. Those conversations did not automatically trigger law enforcement action. They were treated as support discussions, not emergency alerts. No single report on its own met the threshold for intervention. Taken together, they told a different story. Investigators interviewed classmates and roommates. Several described the boyfriend as controlling. He monitored where Zhifan went. He questioned who she spoke to. He appeared unexpectedly. When she pulled away, the behavior intensified. These were allegations. They were documented as such. What investigators could prove was the pattern of contact. Phone records showed frequent communication, even during times when Zhifan was trying to distance herself. Messages escalated in tone. Requests turned into demands. Silence triggered follow-up. This evidence did not prove violence by itself. It did establish obsession. As detectives laid the timeline side by side with the earlier reports, a critical failure became clear. Each warning had been evaluated in isolation. No system aggregated the risk. Campus resources did not have access to police call histories. Police did not have access to informal disclosures made to support staff. Friends did not know what others had already reported. The danger was fragmented. Investigators also examined response protocols. Officers had followed policy during prior calls. Without visible injury or a cooperative complainant, options were limited. That fact was documented, not debated. What was harder to reconcile was the absence of follow-up. No welfare checks were scheduled after prior incidents. No escalation review occurred. No flag was placed to treat future calls involving the couple as high risk. By the time Zhifandong was found dead, the warning signs looked obvious in hindsight. Investigators understood the risk of that perspective. Hindsight sharpens everything. The case file reflected restraint. Allegations were labeled clearly. Proven facts stood on their own. Still, the conclusion was unavoidable. The risk had been visible. It had been documented. It had been distributed across multiple systems that never aligned. When detectives located the boyfriend, the investigation shifted from pattern analysis to accountability. Evidence from the scene, combined with the relationship history, supported arrest and charging. That decision belonged to prosecutors. Investigators focused on the record. By the end of Chapter 2 in the case file, the question was no longer whether the danger had been known. It was why no mechanism existed to connect what everyone saw. The pattern had not been hidden. It had simply never been assembled until it was too late. Chapter 3, After the Silence. The boyfriend was located days after Zhifandong was found dead. Investigators tracked him through phone data and witness sightings. He did not turn himself in. He was taken into custody without incident. The arrest closed one question and opened another. Prosecutors reviewed the evidence assembled by detectives. The case did not rely on confession. It relied on physical evidence from the scene, digital records, and the established relationship between the suspect and the victim. The charging documents reflected that focus. He was formally charged with murder. In court filings, prosecutors laid out a clear narrative. Zhifan Dong had been killed inside her residence. There was no forced entry. The defendant had access. The timing of contact placed him with her shortly before her death. The evidence supported intent. Prior reports of domestic disturbance were introduced as contextual background, not as proof of the killing itself. The distinction mattered. Allegations showed awareness and history. The conviction rested on proven facts tied to the homicide. The legal process moved forward without spectacle. Hearings were procedural, motions were argued. The case did not hinge on surprise testimony or last-minute revelations. It was built slowly, deliberately. The outcome was decisive. The boyfriend was convicted and sentenced according to Utah law. The court acknowledged the loss of life and the severity of the crime. Zhifan Dong's name was spoken repeatedly during sentencing. Her life was not reduced to a case number. For her family, the verdict ended one phase of the ordeal and began another. Justice in court did not undo what had been lost. It confirmed responsibility. It did not answer every question. Outside the courtroom, attention turned back to the systems that had intersected with the case before the killing. Institutions reviewed their handling of prior reports. Law enforcement examined response protocols for domestic disturbance calls. Campus-related resources assessed how disclosures were logged and shared. These reviews were documented. Some led to policy discussions. Others ended with acknowledgments of limitation. No single agency accepted sole blame. The failure did not belong to one decision or one person. It belonged to fragmentation. Each system had acted within its own rules. None had violated policy in a way that triggered discipline. That fact complicated accountability. It also sharpened the lesson. Domestic violence rarely announces itself once. It escalates, it repeats, it tests boundaries. When those signals are scattered across separate systems, no alarm sounds loudly enough. Zhifan Dong's case became part of that record. Advocates pointed to the timeline as an example of what happens when warning signs are treated as standalone events. Officials responded cautiously. They emphasized process. They emphasized the need for evidence thresholds. They emphasized due process. All of that was true. None of it brought her back. The final reports closed with standard language. Case resolved. Defendant sentenced. Matter concluded. But the silence after the verdict carried its own weight. Friends remembered Zhifan as more than a victim. A student. A daughter. Someone who had planned a future that never arrived. Her name remained in records, but her absence defined the outcome more than any sentence length. The systems involved moved on, files were archived, policies were reviewed, life continued. What remained was the record. It showed a danger that appeared early. It showed reports that were handled correctly and still insufficiently. It showed how responsibility can disperse until it disappears. Zhifan Dong's murder was solved in court. The failure that preceded it was harder to close.